the mountain and make them run. I know the God of the old is the God of the new.
I
know that you did it then and you still do.
That's the one thing that I know, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We tell stories of the past. I remember when this would take place, and I hear about the camp meetings of the past and the miracles of the past. God's not a God of the past. He's a God of the now. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith. It's not a later faith, it's a now faith. Amen. I believe that God has a timing for everything. Sometimes we pray and we don't get it right now, but he's a now God. He can do it right now. Amen. I want to say before I read my text, before I dismiss the children to Children's Church, some of our school, HTSM, Harvest Time School of Ministry, is in Ohio. They went to the Southern Ohio Youth Camp, represented our church, represented Harvest Time School of Ministry, and today they're ministering in a church in Ohio. I'm just so thrilled. Brother Stevens ministered in a different state, I believe in Colorado today, and we have our team is just out ministering in different locations, and that's multiplication. That's what it's all about. It's about pouring into others. This church, you have been such a tremendous blessing to our school, and I want to thank you for that. And I know that God's going to continue to use them. We're expecting again to go on another mission trip in January. Hopefully the tickets will be cheaper, so if this is too expensive for some of you that wanted to go, we'll hopefully have two more trips in January. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church, age 5 to 12. You have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 55. Psalms chapter 55 and verse number 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for what we feel in this service this morning. Lord, I pray for a special anointing to be upon me today. I want to become as an oracle of God to speak only the words you'd have me to speak. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint every ear that we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say to us. Lord, I pray that the Word of God would become alive. I pray that you would increase our faith. You'd strengthen us. Lord, I pray that the journey that lies ahead, though it's difficult, you're going to give us grace to get through. Help every person in this house, those watching by Facebook. Lord, we thank you and give you all the praise and the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Again, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm going to preach to you this morning on dismantling discouragement. Dismantling discouragement. It doesn't take very much to discourage some people. And we're all susceptible to discouragement. I understand that life is full of ups and it's full of downs. You can be on the mountaintop one day, and if you're not very careful, you can be in the valley the next. It can just take one situation to change everything in your life. It's just one phone call. It's one circumstance at work, something that happened in the home, and everything can change on a dime. It seems overnight. But I'm here today to encourage you that God can help us during the time of discouragement. Listen, we are soldiers, and we must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Can I I get a witness today? Listen, this is a warfare. It's a battle. And we've got to get our minds made up that when discouragement comes our way, that we're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord as David did. We've all heard the story, the fable about the devil's garage sale. One day the devil had a garage sale and he was going to sell some of his tools. A man came and began to examine all the tools that the devil had. And he had a tool called hatred, $150,000 on hatred. The man said, "Wow, these tools are very expensive." The enemy says, "They work very well." Then there was a tool called envy, $160,000 price tag on envy. Then there was jealousy, $175,000, and on these tools went up to $200,000. But there was one tool, it was an unnamed tool, and it was a price tag of $5 million. This man looked at the devil and he says, "Man, what is this? This price is unreachable by anyone." But the devil says, "Listen, this tool works when no other tool works. Whenever I've tried everything on children of God, on Christians, this one tool works." He said, "Well, what is the tool?" He said, "This tool is the tool of discouragement." He said, "These other tools, I've tried to pry the heart open of Christians, and it doesn't work on many, many Christians. But I can pry the heart open of Christians with the tool of discouragement when nothing else works." You know it's true, and I know it's true. I know that's just a fable, but I can tell you that the enemy of our soul wants to discourage you. He wants you to get despondent. He wants you to look at this thing as it's impossible. I'm going to tell you on the authority of God's word today, where there's still a God in heaven, there's still a possibility, for with God all things are possible. Listen, God loves to work when nothing else will, and we need to get it in our minds and our spirit today that he's still a God of miracles. You need to say it. God is still a God of miracles today. And if we can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. This, the tool of discouragement. Discouragement is defined to deprive of courage or confidence, to dishearten, to hinder, to dissuade from doing something, to discourage. Listen to me, discouragement comes in many, many different disguises, and it can hit you in different ways and at different times in your life. But and we're all susceptible to it, and we all come under that spirit of discouragement, but you can't stay under it. I'm here today to tell you, you can dismantle discouragement. You can't stay there, because if you get discouraged and you wallow in it and you stay there, it can lead to such a despondency, and I can tell you, it can even lead to depression. We got to get up, rise up, get out of it, because we have called to help others. We're called as children of the light. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to dismantle discouragement. One of the worst things about discouragement is it is contagious. It's more contagious than any sickness that you've ever been around. Whenever somebody is discouraged, they're down in the mouth, and that dark cloud seems to be hovering over them. If you're not prayed up and read in the Word of God, I can tell you that thing can get on you. And sometimes I just have to get away from folk. Amen. I'll pray for them. But listen, I don't want to come under that dark cloud. You got to be careful, because, ladies and gentlemen, moms, dads, grandparents, children in the home, when you're discouraged and you don't pray through over it, it can be put on others around you. Listen, as leaders, as men and women of God, we all go through it, but we got to get up, shake ourselves, and learn how to get through discouraging times. Listen, pray and seek the face of God. When discouragement comes our way, it must be dismantled quickly, or it will impact our life. There is no question that God Almighty plants dreams in the heart of every person. God's given you a dream. He's given me a dream. A dream is a God-given destiny. I believe that God has a direction for every one of us. I don't believe our lives are just by chance. I don't believe it's que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I believe God has a plan, a destiny for every one of us in this kingdom to work according to his will. Do you believe that? It could be something God's calling you to do, or something he has given you. The innate skill, talent, an opportunity to be carried out. Listen, God has a destiny and a plan for every one of us. Ultimately, it's to be conformed to the image of Christ. But God has a plan for you in the kingdom of God. It could be something he wants you to do later or now, but the enemy's job is to come against that plan. And listen, that dream can be turned into a nightmare very quickly. Hell's nightmares are always nipping at the heels of God's dream. But I want you to hear me today. You have no doubt to experience the hellish nightmares that can happen whenever things are out of your control, whenever things don't come to pass, and when it seems like everything's going wrong. Listen, trouble in your pathway, if you will believe God, can turn into triumph. Your pain is the pathway to giving God a higher praise. Your mess in the pathway is a direction to the miraculous. But we got to get our minds made up. During times of discouragement, we're going to press on anyway, and you have to understand that God has a bigger plan. God has a bigger picture. He's doing something. He's working while you're waiting. God's doing something in the midst of your discouragement. It's like a woman who's longing to be a mother, and there are many who are mothers, and others long to be a mother. Ultimately, they long to hold that child. She becomes pregnant. She's carrying around the dream of motherhood and enjoying the ride. But when the time comes to give birth, that dream is only born through an experience of excruciating pain. Do you hear me? If you're battling the spirit of discouragement today and you're hearing voices telling you to give up, I'm telling you, you better not give up. Don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. You press on. It's going to get better. I know that's not a divine revelation to anyone in this house today, but I want to say it again. It's going to get better. Every trial has an expiration date. It's going to come a time that the sun's going to rise again, that you're going to taste victory again. You're going to come through that thing if you'll trust in God as pure gold refined in the fiery trial, which is to try us. Listen to me today. God has promised us that he will not leave us, and he is going to complete what he started in us. Listen, that's encouraging me today. Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. When I first got saved, 1996, I messed up 2 days after I was saved. I opened up the Word of God to Philippians chapter 1, and I read this verse, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You know what I did? I got down at that altar. I repented of my sin, and I said, God started something inside of me, and he's not going to give up if I don't give up. So what you got to do is you got to make up your mind. You're going to come to the house of God. Every time the doors are open, you're going to keep reading the Word of God. You're going to keep praying. You're going to keep testifying. You're going to keep believing the Word of God. Do you hear me today? Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. If I don't give up and I keep coming back to him, God's going to do his part, and everything is going to be okay in the end. Most everyone, hear me. Most everyone needs to hear this very, very carefully today. Very carefully. That God wants to complete the work that he started. I know you've heard my testimony. 1996, I was saved. I was radically saved. I mean, delivered instantly from drugs and alcohol. My cusser got saved. My wallet got saved. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, my 1991 Toyota 5-speed Camry got sanctified. It no longer went to the places it used to go. I'm telling you, my life was transformed. But leading up to that, before I got saved, God was positioning me so that I could hear his voice. And I remember in 1996, I had not yet gotten saved, and I was watching a movie that was created in 1949, and it's called It's a Wonderful Life. Many of you have seen It's a Wonderful Life. I was a little boy, and I remember my mom, every Christmas she'd put on It's a Wonderful Life, and I loved that show, and you know a little bit about it. It's just a movie, and at the beginning of the show, it shows outer space, and it shows the stars, and you can hear people beginning to pray for a man by the name of George Bailey. And up in the atmosphere, you can hear angels talking, and an angel's about to be sent down by the name of Clarence, and he's going to help George Bailey. But the angel, Clarence, he asks, he says, "What is this problem? Is he sick?" And the other angel responds, "Oh, no, 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 worse than that, he's discouraged." And at 10:30 on this particular night, George Bailey is going to attempt to take the most precious thing, and that is his life. Listen to me today. I don't believe that a man takes his life, he goes into heaven. I don't believe that. You destroy this temple, the Bible says God will destroy you, number one. And number two, that's murder, and you can't repent of it. You're destroying yourself. That's another message altogether. But I do want to say this. There are times that you can become so discouraged and so despondent that you wish that you were not here. You know the story. He ended up, the angel goes to where he is, and he jumps in the water because he knows that if he acts like he's drowning, George Bailey would save him instead of killing himself. It was a good movie. That night I ended up praying, crying out to God, asking God to help me. I didn't get saved that night. But listen to me, despair and discouragement is a powerful thing. Even in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah just called the fire down from heaven. He killed the prophets of Baal. But Jezebel sent him a message, and she said this. She was going to kill him. This man that prayed fire down out of heaven, he goes and sits under a juniper tree, and he asked the Lord to take his life. He asked the Lord to just kill him. I understand that some of you have been there where you're so discouraged, you're so despondent. You say, "Lord, just take me out of here. Lord, I just can't handle it anymore." I understand discouragement is a powerful, powerful thing. But listen, God's not through with you. He's got a plan for your life, and he wants you to get through this thing. Whatever you're going through, in Revelation 2 and 3, to every one of the churches, it was to him that overcometh. Well, you get the prize. You got to get through this thing, whatever you're going through. And when you get through, you're going to be refined as pure gold, and God's going to use you like never before. But you got to get through discouragement. John the Baptist was discouraged. John the Baptist reached a point when he was devastated, not only because he had just been thrown into prison, but because he wanted Jesus to assure him that he was doing the right thing. You remember? John the Baptist wanted to make sure his efforts were not in vain. This is the same John the Baptist that saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." In John chapter 1, John had a personal revelation of the Messiah. Yet, toward the end of his life, he felt abandoned and he was plagued with doubt. Think about it. He sent a message to Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? Don't you tell me that John the Baptist wasn't discouraged. He was in jail. He was about to lose his life. Am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right direction? In other words, John wondered, is this right? And listen, have I gotten myself sucked into a case of missing identity? That's what he's saying. Is Jesus really the Christ, the Son of the living God? Listen, I'm talking to someone in the house today. Discouragement will cause you to question what you previously affirmed as truth whenever you're under that spirit of delusion. Whenever you're going through things, whenever your kids are going in the wrong direction. I know people who have raised their kids right. Hear me today. They've raised their kids in a Pentecostal church, in the Word of God. They've lived as good of a life as they could before them, but their kids went a different direction, and they begin to question, did I do right? Was I too hard on them? Did I force them too hard? Listen to me, you don't need to do that. Maybe you have a trial that's come your way, and you wonder why God allowed this to happen. And I can tell you, every imp, every demonic force in hell will tell you, look, do you really believe that? If you really believe this, that wouldn't have happened and that wouldn't have happened. Where's your God now? Well, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he's in the same place he's always been. He is in heaven, and Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Ghost is omnipresent. I'm here today to tell you, on the authority of God's word, you need to stick to the word of God, what you've always believed. Don't change your theology in the midst of a trial. Oh, listen, I've seen it too often. They get hurt. They feel betrayed. Something has happened and their theology changes. They begin to question everything that they believe. Listen to me. I love it, Brother Scott. His brother, on his deathbed, he was dying of cancer and he was on pain medicine because the pain was so great. He was having illusions and delusions. And he said, I'm confused, but I'm going to stick to what I know that I know. Listen, that is a word, a phrase that's in my spirit today. And somebody in this house, you're questioning some things about the way you were raised. If you were raised in the word of God, you're questioning some things that you believe. You better stick to the things that you know, that you know. In the midst of all the trials and troubles, the devil will lie to you more than ever before. Listen to me. Don't change your theology in the midst of a trial. Be careful. Don't change it. Stay in Christ. For a few minutes, I'm going to show you how to dismantle discouragement. Number one, are you ready? Learn to wait. Brother Matt, are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. How do you dismantle discouragement? The very first step is to learn to wait. Listen, if we want to overcome the child of Jezebel, named discouragement, that's what I'll call her, the child of Jezebel, we must learn to wait. As long as the earth exists, the Bible tells us that there will be seasons. First, sowing time. Then, waiting for growth time. Then, finally, harvest time. I said it Wednesday night, dealing with waiting on the Lord. Listen, the farmer, when he plants, he's not going to get the fruit of the ground immediately. There's a time of waiting. Listen, some of us, especially in the United States of America, we go through McDonald's, and if they get us our burger in 60 seconds, it's not fast enough. Listen, we are an impatient society, and my wife's probably thinking, he needs to preach to himself. I know, Sister Tori, I'm impatient, but that's the society that we live in today. Listen to me. God's not that way. God's not going to give you what you want when you want it. It is not Burger King. I know that's not their slogan, Brother Gus. He said, Brother Matt's behind the times because that's not even their slogan anymore. But listen, God doesn't give you what you want when you want it, but God gives it to you in the nick of time when you need it. Are you with me today? We need to learn to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, the Bible said, shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. Do you hear me today? We don't like to wait. We are impatient as Christians, especially in the United States of America. We cannot forget the time in between the seed and the harvest. To reap the harvest, we must learn to wait. As Scripture says in Galatians 6 and 9, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Listen, some of you are in the midst of a trial. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting. You're going to reap if you don't faint in the midst of that trial. Listen, God sent his only begotten Son in the fullness of time in Galatians 4 and 4. There was a time frame that he came. There's a cactus called the Queen of the Night, and it looks dead for a long period of time until the bloom comes. They say that only one night of the entire year does this cactus bloom with white flowers up to 8 inches wide. Listen, 364 days of the year, it looks dead. It's just an old boring cactus. But one day out of the year, it blooms. Are you with me today? I said, how do you dismantle this discouraging spirit? Because we get discouraged when it doesn't happen, whenever we've prayed, when we think that it should. We go through the trial and we think this is our undoing. It's at the end. Listen, I've been through too many trials, and I can tell you it was not my undoing. I've come too far to look back. I've been been through it. I got through it too many times, and I can testify God did it before, and he will do it again. We need to learn to wait upon the Lord. Hear me. What have we lost? We've lost our ability to wait. Prayers oftentimes go unanswered for so long that we have isolated ourselves and we crawl deeper into the cave of discouragement. Have you ever owned a one-of-a-kind item just for you? Has anybody ever made you a Bible cover? You remember those Bible covers were real popular? They put your name on it. Or some of you girls, you'll get a little bracelet and somebody will put your name. It's a custom-made item just for you. Well, you know God customizes trials. A custom trial just for us. You mean to tell me God allows me to go through difficult things? Absolutely. Positively. God will customize something with your name on it. I want you to start thinking of waiting as a custom designed just for you storm from God, created to bring you one step closer to your destiny, to bring you one step closer to what God wants in your life. You remember Jonah? Jonah was commanded by God to go to Nineveh and preach, but he didn't want to go because them people were crazy. He tried to get out of it, but God was not going to let Jonah get out of it. Jonah the prophet, he was swallowed by a great fish. Now listen to what Jonah chapter 1 and 17 says. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. That wasn't the devil. It wasn't just by happenstance. God prepared this fish to swallow Jonah. Then a few chapters later, we read that the Lord God prepared a plant and made it to come over Jonah. This is after he got spit out of the fish's mouth, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. Then in a few verses later, the Bible tells us that God prepared one more thing for Jonah. This time it was a worm. Listen to me, God prepared every one of those things because God is all-knowing, he's all-seeing, he knows the end from the beginning, he knows the direction we're going to go, and I can tell you God already knows the expiration date of your trial, and he's already setting things up. Listen, if you could get this in your spirit today, it would help you to press on a little bit more through the trial. God's already piecing the things together, he's already setting this thing up with this person, this circumstance, because he loves us so very much. Listen, God's doing it. Listen, the next time you want to hurry God up and get through out of the storm, consider that God has a timing and he's setting everything up. He is busy designing events that will yield blessings in your life. You just wait and see. That's what he's doing. If you're in a holding zone and you're on the verge of quitting, remember that God is doing something beneath the surface. He's always working while you're waiting. Number two, how do we dismantle discouragement? Remember the blessing in the breaking. Not only do some miracles take longer than we'd like, but they often come by very strange means. Often our breakthroughs will come out of brokenness. Do you remember whenever the little boy having the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? Jesus was preaching the gospel and it was getting dark and the people were hungry and there was thousands of people there. The Bible says that he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he prayed over them. And everyone got fed. You remember the story? But I want to point out something to you this morning. It's interesting to note that as Jesus was praying over the food, the quantity was still 5 loaves and 2 fish. Nothing had changed. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish and he prays over it. There's thousands of people that need to be fed. Nothing happens. It was only until he broke it that it was multiplied. Could he have done it a different way? Absolutely. I'm preaching on the principle today of brokenness. Listen, God uses brokenness. Listen, God will do great things through brokenness, blessings in brokenness. Every man, woman, and child had eaten. And the Bible says there were 12 basketfuls left over. God doesn't just do it. He doesn't just answer prayers. God over answers prayers. Do you hear me? Listen, you say, well, I'm broken. I don't know what to do. I'm hurting. Many don't understand what I'm going through. He still understands and he still cares. And I can tell you through that brokenness, God's going to multiply some things. He's going to use you in a greater measure. He's going to increase you in other areas of your life. Listen, the breakings of life produce the blessings of life. This is a spiritual law. You have to understand. Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it falls to the ground and die, it brings forth much fruit. Do you hear me? That one little kernel of corn produces a lot of things, but it's got to be broken. It's got to fall to the ground and die. It's the same way with you and I. We are too much flesh on us. We're too much in the controlling seat. We go along in life and everything's good. I praise God for the good times, but it's through the breaking process does God do his greatest work. Listen, when you felt discouraged in your season of brokenness, God wasn't trying to crush you. He was getting ready to bless you. I understand that that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. But he wasn't trying to crush you and kill you. He's getting ready to bless you. As I look back in my life, hindsight's 20/20. You know that? As you can see with these glasses, I don't have 20/20 vision. But spiritually, I do. Hindsight's 20/20. You look back and you say, man, I was crying out to God. I thought God had forsaken me. I didn't understand what he was doing. And then I got through that thing and I seen the blessings that came out of being broken and messed up. Listen, I don't care what you're going through today. God can turn that thing around and he can cause the enemy's plans to backfire. That's the kind of God that we serve. My Bible still says in the book of Romans, all things work together for good. To them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. I say it all the time. The Bible doesn't say that all things are good, but the Bible does say that all things work together for good. You take a little of this and a little of this, you put it in a mixer, stir it up, then put it in the oven, the trialing fires that are to try you. God bakes up something beautiful in your life. There is blessings in brokenness. It may not seem to add up, but the greatest blessings come out of the hardest breakings. The very thing you're cursing is the very thing God is going to use to multiply and to bless your life. That's hard to understand. We don't want trials. I don't like pain. Some people like pain. I don't like pain. But God uses pain to do his greatest work. It's in the darkness. It's in that discouraging trial. God does his greatest work. Listen, some of you are going through some things that you don't understand. And the despondency and the discouragement seems overwhelming. I want to encourage you today to hold on to God. Listen, we got to dismantle that discouragement. You can't wallow in that. You got to get out of it. Some people like to stay right there in it. I'm telling you to get up and get out of it in the name of Jesus and see the big picture again. God knows what he's doing. Dismantle discouragement. Number three, listen, I'll tell you something that works every single time. When you're going through a great trial, can someone come to the piano? Encourage somebody else whenever you're in pain. Listen, every one of us are susceptible to discouragement, pain, agony, confusion. But probably one of the reasons why I don't go through it a whole lot is because I'm helping other people. I want to help people. I do. I have a desire to go and help people and find out what's going on. And I want to encourage you. Listen, if I can encourage you, I forget. A lot of it's just probably I got a bad memory or something. But we need to have a better forgetter. We focus in on ourselves so much in our pain. And we don't oftentimes see that God allows us to go through that because he's preparing you to see something, to grow in Christ, for something to fall off of you, to develop you, to save somebody else. God will use you as an instrument to save someone else that will change the course of their eternal destiny. Are you willing to go through a trial if it means that you'll help somebody to keep them from going to hell? I can tell you I am. Lord, whatever it takes to cause my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. Are you willing to go through a trial in order for someone else to be saved? I don't know, Brother Matt. I don't know. Until you get an eternal perspective, you won't know. I've heard this back in the day. I'd hear this a lot. They say, well, pray for your children and your grandchildren, whatever it takes. You know what that means whenever you pray that? Lord, if you have to, whatever you have to do, if you have to smite them, if you have to let them go through the greatest pain to save their soul, whatever it takes. I've actually heard people say, I ain't praying that. You know why they said they weren't going to pray that? Because they love their kids or they love their family, but they didn't want to see them hurt. Well, obviously, we've lost sight of eternity. Listen, I don't want to see my family hurt. I don't want to see my family go through. I don't want nobody to die, amen? I don't want no one to go through physical problems. But I can tell you this, I'd rather them get to heaven and go through some temporal things than have to miss heaven because they had everything easy in life. Encourage someone else. Do you remember when Elijah heard that the queen was going to kill him, she wanted to kill him, and he was under the juniper tree? And he said, Lord, I'm the only one left. Man, you ever felt like that? I'm the only one left, Lord. As he lay there in despair, God sent provision by the way of an angel. The angel fed him. God was strengthening him for the journey ahead. Elijah then found a cave and planted himself inside. He continued this self-defeating words to the Lord. Woe is me, poor me. I don't understand this. Why me, God? What have I done? We do that, don't we? You know what God told him to do in verses 15 and 16? He said, Elijah, get out of the place that you're at and go anoint 3 people. Go and encourage somebody else. Man, that's a divine revelation right there. Can we stand? He said, get out of the place where you are right now and go and anoint 3 people. Listen, if you're desperate to come out of the cave of discouragement, go encourage somebody else. When was the last time that you brought hope to somebody else or prayed for them in their hour of need? When's the last time you blessed someone else instead of expecting a blessing for yourself? I can remember, we've been here in this church for 22 years. Brother Taylor built this church 22 years ago. This sanctuary was half the size, and I'm standing right over here probably 19 years ago. Man, I'm going through it. See, because that was Sunday school class. Well, I was over here because this was kitchen back here. So I was over here at the altar. Man, I'm really going through it. I'm feeling sorry for myself, hurting. I had a little bit of the poor me tea, and I was sipping on it. And there was somebody at the altar, Sister Wickware. Y'all remember Sister Wickware, the Holy Ghost-filled woman? She was preaching that night about 19 years ago. And the Holy Ghost told me to go pray for that person. It was, I don't remember who it was, but they were an older teenager, young adult. And I didn't want to get out of my seat and go pray for them because I'm hurting. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't need to pray for them. I need somebody to pray for me. And I still remember this. The Spirit of God continued to prompt me, go pray for them right now. And I'm hurting. I'm mad. I'm confused. I feel forsaken. And I said, okay, Lord. And let me tell you what happened. I walked up, And I put my hand, I started to weep before I ever put my hand on their shoulder. And when I put my hand on their shoulder, something got a hold of me. I'm telling you, like electricity, when I touched that person's back, electricity, the power of the Holy Ghost, went from that touch, that contact, through my body, and I shouted all over this place. I danced, and people stopped and watched me. I couldn't stop dancing and shouting. Something got a hold of me. Because I got up in the midst of my pain, and I begin to anoint somebody else. That's what he told the prophet Elijah. He said, Elijah, I know you're going through it. I know you're discouraged. I know she wants to kill you. It's time for you to, he got some rest. He ate a cake. He got some nourishment. And then he got up and anointed somebody. I can tell you that's the key to some of your problems. You're waiting to get healed. You're not going to get healed until you go and do what God told you to do. Minister to somebody else. Help somebody else. You're discouraged. You don't even feel like you don't even feel like you can do that because maybe you have fallen in an area. Repent. Get it under the blood. And go anoint somebody else. Listen, God spoke this to me today. He told me to tell you, he's already told you to minister. He's already told you to go to someone else. He's already told you what to do. But because of being in this place of great pain, you haven't done it. This is part of your healing. This is how you dismantle discouragement. Get your mind off of yourself. Get your mind off of your problems, your own family. Begin to minister to somebody else. There have been people who have confessed that they would not pray for other people's kids because their kids were lost and they were so discouraged. There are people who their kids have fallen away from God, not because of any fault of the parents, but because that child made a choice. And they have a difficulty. They have a difficulty seeing the kids choir get up here. I've had people confess that. And they've had difficulty seeing things at our Harvest Time Christian Academy services. Why? Because they're hurting. They're discouraged. Get up out of the cave and go anoint someone else. That principle works. Are you with me today? God's speaking to somebody in this house. Stop nursing your own wounds. Stop nursing your own wounds and help somebody else. And God's going to do something inside of you like you have never dreamed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I preach what you give me to preach. I know that you're talking to somebody. Lord, they're going to come out of that discouragement. We're going to dismantle that lying spirit here at these altars this morning. God, I know somebody came in here desperate today. Maybe they've been struggling for just a few days. Maybe it's been weeks or months or even years. But you want to help them. You want to pull them out of that place of discouragement. Lord, maybe they have failed. Maybe they feel like they've made a mess of their life and they don't know what to do. But God, you've shown them today what to do. Father, I pray you'd minister by your Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If someone in this house, you need to come back to God, you're a backslider, you need to get saved, I want you to lift your hand. Anyone in this house, before we give this general altar call, anyone in this house, God sees this hand. Anyone else? We're going to pray for you. But the rest of you, I want you all, if you're able to come stand around this altar, I want you to get with your family. If you don't have a family, get with another individual or another family. I want us to come down to this altar. Please. It's time for somebody, another family, to adopt somebody. You need to adopt somebody. You just need to adopt them. We're going to pray. There's a spirit of heaviness on folks. Please come in as close as you can to the very front. Spirit of heaviness. The story I told is just a fable. The devil in his garage sale. Here's what the fable says. The devil told the man, with Christians, I can't use every tool because a lot of them just will not work. But with the tool of discouragement, I can take that tool and I can pry the heart of that child of God open, and I can get in with that tool. That is so true. You're discouraged about a situation and it's just about to wear you out. You're going to get help today. I want you to move over to somebody, your family, even if your family's not here, move over to pray for somebody in this house. You don't know what somebody else is going through. You don't know the pain. You don't know the sorrow of that family. Oh God, I'm asking you to move by your Spirit. Lord, there's desperation in this house today. Great desperation. Lord, it seems as if there's a dark cloud of heaviness. Lord, I'm asking you to open our eyes and let us see what only you can see, Lord. Open our eyes, Holy Ghost. Open our eyes, Holy Ghost. Let us see what only you can see. Oh, God. Minister. In the name of Jesus. I want you to pray for that person beside you. Like if you don't break through, it's going to be their undoing. That's how we got to pray. We got to get a burden. It's time to anoint someone else in the midst of our trial. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voices all over this sanctuary. Oh, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Spirit of God. Oh, yes, he's doing the work right now. He's doing the work right now. I feel the Holy Ghost breaking something off of somebody in this house. Oh, yes, your eyes have been opened. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to wait. Oh, yes, Lord. Your timing is perfect timing. Do the work right now. Come on, church. Keep praying. Keep praying. But a night to dawn. Thank you, Lord. I want you to give it to God this morning. Lay it at this altar. Lay it at this altar today. God's working while you're waiting. God's doing something behind the scenes. It's not over till God says it's over. Do you hear me? I said it's not over till God says it's over. He's working while you're waiting. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost.
Wait on the Lord. Yes, I'm gonna wait on. Yeah.
hands. Let's begin to thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's thank you, church. Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. I said this Wednesday night, I want to say it again. Everything that goes on in the supernatural, the heavens, we don't see the conversation. We don't know what's going on. Job, Satan came to God and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan says the only reason why he serves you is because you have built a hedge of protection around him. You've blessed him. The devil said to God, if you remove that hedge, Job will curse you to your face. Job never hears this. God removes the hedge, and all of hell is unleashed on Job. It's good to know that Satan was limited on what he could do to Job. All of hell was unleashed, and he's got boils, his children are gone. Dead. He lost all of his wealth. He's sick. His wife looks at him. He's a miserable mess. And she says, "Job, won't you just curse God and die? Won't you just commit suicide by coming against God?" And Job, in the midst of his pain, he looks at her and says, "You speak like a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." That discouraged the devil. That discourages the devil. What Job means, let me rephrase that. Even if God kills me, woman, I'm still going to serve him because he's God. And I love him. And he ain't never done me nothing but good. Will I not serve him in the midst of the hard times and the good times? Nah. I'm going to serve God no matter what. Remove all the blessings. Let everyone turn on me. Let me feel as if God has forsaken me. And yet, I'm going to stick to what I know that I know. God is love. He loves us. He loves us. Though he slay me, I'm going to serve him. It reminds me of the three Hebrew boys. Nebuchadnezzar says, if you'll bow down to the image, I won't throw you in that fire. They say, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he don't, we're not bowing down to you, devil. I added that in there. That discouraged the devil that day. Even if he doesn't deliver me, even if my family busts apart, even if I get sick of cancer, even if I lose my job and I lose everything that I own, I'm still going to serve God, devil. I done got my mind made up. It ain't about the blessings. Listen, my life does not consist in the abundance of the things that I possess, but my life is hid in Christ and God. Listen, we only live 70. 70 years, reason of strength, Psalm says, 80. And after that, sorrow and labor. If I live to be 80, I've got 34 more years. If. 34 more years. And then I'm going to enter into eternity. Well, that's kind of exciting to me. Why are we so focused on the here and the now? We're clinging for natural life. Oh, God. And to think somebody would turn against God because of a satanic attack, let's keep our focus, church. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Though he slay me, my God whom I serve is able to deliver me from the burning fiery furnace. But even if he don't, I'm going to serve him anyway. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will come and he will deliver. He will help you. Your faith is being tried in the fire. Let it be tried. It's going to be found as pure gold. Heavenly Father, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to get our focus upon you. Discouraging times come. Let it come. But give us grace. Give us grace to get through. Lord, help us in our hour of confusion and pain and hurt and loss. Oh, God. Eternity's just around the corner. Help us to get that eternal perspective and keep it before us constantly. Let us work while we have daylight, for the night comes when no man can work. Let us work now while it is day. Help us, Lord, to see with spiritual eyes and not with carnal natural eyes. Lord, I pray you'd encourage, help, strengthen. Lord, help us to do what we need to do to dismantle that spirit of discouragement in our life. Lord, I'm going to love you and praise you. Can we lift our hands one more time and just love the Lord? Thank him for his word, for the promise of eternal life. Thanking him for the blood of the cross. Jesus, you're good. You're good. You're good.
I just want to thank you.
Jesus, you're good.
I just want to thank you.
Oh, yes,
you.
I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm so grateful.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, and I just want to thank you.
Look at him. Can you see the Lord?
I just want to thank you.
Give the Lord full in view. Hallelujah.
I just want to thank you.
Oh God, I'm magnifying you, Lord.
Oh yes, I just want to thank you. Oh, we say thank you, God. I just want to thank you for all you've done. I just want to thank you. Oh God, I'm so grateful.
You're dismissed this morning. Now go and anoint somebody. It's now time to go and encourage somebody in the Lord. It's time to undergird somebody. Pull them up. Help them to survive. God made you for that. God made you in the kingdom to minister to other people. Help somebody. And you're going to come out of that discouragement.